to a shock of mystery, talking conspiracies, curiosity, spin the tales of Daniel and Rupert's lore, defy explanation, leave you wanting more. Mongman sightings, government denies, J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand, manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand, manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
In this shack, the truth is found. Living free, not under their control, or something like that. That's something said something like that there in the song, but it's true. Welcome back to the shack.
Are you eating something?
I had a bite of.
No, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Wilbur. Welcome back to the shack, everybody. It's good to be back in the shack. We all need the shack. It's time to open that little shack in your heart and let it out into the world. Welcome back to the shack. Just keep saying that over and over. Oh, boy. It's been a long weekend. It's been a long weekend, but we're back. We survived again.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't know either. I just know the world's been crazy.
Has it?
Yeah. It's been nuts lately. It's been nuts. A lot of moving parts. A lot of things being swept under the rug. A lot of lists being suppressed.
Is there?
A lot of information that's being lied constantly to us from our government officials that are supposed to be our truthful authority. You know, we pay our taxes to those people, those things, those entities. They're lying to us. And why? Why would they lie? It's almost as if they're under the control of another entity. It's almost as if all the governments of the world are controlled under another entity.
What entity is that?
Nah, I don't know. It's totally unrelated to this episode. Totally unrelated. Totally. Not even. It's just what's a thought on my mind at the moment. Oh, you hear the fizz of truth being opened.
The Red 40.
Literally, it's.
I don't think you can get more Red 40 than this.
That. Why are you drinking that for a Red 40?
It's like the third ingredient on it.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I just, every once in a while, I get the craving for this.
A Red Pop.
Specifically, a Faygo Red Drop.
Oh, it says Red Drop? Mm. Oh, wait, he's taking a sip.
It says Red Pop.
Oh, it does say Red Pop. Okay. I don't know. We didn't drink much Faygo growing up. Well, we did from time to time.
We did because we were poor.
Well, I mean, we had Faygo RC. We had that. We drank all the off-brand like Kmart sodas too.
Yeah, Grandpa always had RC here. Mm. But we always had Faygo because we were poor.
I don't think we had Faygo cream soda. I liked that a lot. We just didn't get like the Red Pops, the grapes, like the fruit ones.
Yeah, we got it all.
We mostly Faygo.
Because you could get like 18 cases of it for the price of a 2 liter of Pepsi.
It's like the giant bags of cereal.
Yes, the off-brand.
No, but they're so good.
You can get a 50-pound dog food bag of it.
Yep. The best kind was that Cinnamon Toast Crunch knockoff, but that was blueberry flavored. It was like a blueberry Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It would taste like a blueberry muffin. No, it was delicious. It was so good. So good. And it came in a giant bag. It took you like a month to eat by yourself. Or just, you know, a long weekend. Long, rough weekend. I can get through one of them bags. But yeah, anyways, back to the shack. Back to the shack. Let's get serious here. because we're going to be talking about a certain a family.
What are we talking about?
Well, I think we're talking about the lords of the earth. You know, the Lord Rothschild. Isn't that how you say their name? Rothschild. Right?
I have no idea. What are we trying
about?
To say?
Rothschild. Rothschild.
So I thought I had a stroke last night. Because Alexa, I had Alexa playing folk music for me and the kids.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I stopped understanding it all. Like
the music?
Yeah. Like it was, everything was jarbled. And I was really getting scared.
And you were smelling burnt toast?
No, but I was like, I couldn't tell, like, because the kids just speak gibberish.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. And I really thought I was like having a stroke or something because the music's, like, I could still hear it. And it went from, like, understanding to, and I'm like, I can't understand anything.
You couldn't understand the lyrics?
I couldn't. They weren't talking. It switched to Creole music. It was French.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
I really thought I was having, like, I was scared. I was having a stroke.
Maybe.
No, it was Creole.
Okay. That happens. That happens.
They were speaking French.
Well, yeah. A dead language.
A dead language.
It's on its
Cajun
way out.
Cajun French, technically.
Well, that's better than, like, the old-fashioned, like, fake French, like,
their House of Rothschilds.
Language. Oh, yes. Oh, the Rothschilds. You got to say
which is
it.
A film.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well,
there's a film called The House of Rothschild.
I'm sure it's
I don't have any idea.
Truthful.
I have no idea what it's about. It may not actually anything to do with these guys.
Oh, it may just be like a cover up the kind of thing. So when you Google Rothschild, this movie comes up.
It's an old movie, so I don't even think it's that.
Hey. Well, they knew that
like 1930s.
They knew that internet search engines were coming up. Don't let them fool you. They already had it back then.
They got a pretty cool what do you call it? Coat of arms.
Well, yeah, when you're the family that runs everything in the world. What are the big families that run? It's Rothschilds. I'm blanking right now, but like
the Build-A-Bears.
Well, that's a
group.
Yeah. I know the Roth. Why am I blanking? Rockefeller, is that on that list?
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah.
What's the other big name though? I don't know. I'm blanking right now. It's been a while since we've been there. I don't have the Shaq juices flowing through me yet.
You need some Red 40.
That'd do something to me, that's for sure.
I didn't even know everybody at home, we're just going to read off the Wikipedia article. I didn't even know they were Jewish until I got on the Wikipedia article.
Okay.
I just didn't. But it's like the first line underneath the Rothschilds.
Okay, so they're
Jewish noble banking family is the second line of the Rothschilds entry.
I wonder where they originated from, like their family lineage.
Oh, I got that.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wonder if it's like Eastern
European.
Oh, okay. Like, I wonder if they have ties to the Bolsheviks, like the revolution.
I have no idea.
Wonder if there are any fingers in that pot. I don't know. It'd be worth looking into in the future. But anyways, so we're going to go into the family history of the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm. They go all the way back. Their place of origin is all the way back to the Holy Roman Empire.
That's pretty far back.
Mm-hmm. They've been in power for a long time.
And they still are, you mean?
The founder of the Rothschild family, as far as we have history, is 1577,
okay.
As far as we know. And, the coat of arms is pretty cool. They have three hats and a lion and a unicorn.
A unicorn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they responsible for removing them all?
How do you say, so... they're originally from Frankfurt. The Rothschild family is a wealthy, Ashkenazi Jewish?
Yeah.
Okay. Ashkenazi Jewish noble banking family.
Hmm.
Do you want to know what their motto is?
Yes. I want to know.
Concordia Integris Industria.
What's that translate?
Harmony, integrity, and industry.
Nice. Nice.
The family's documented history starts in the 16th century in Frankfurt. The name is derived from their family house, Rothschild, built by Isaka Elikan Bakarach.
You want me to try to read it?
Yeah, you could try.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's see. Where's it at?
Like the third line down.
Okay. Oh, El Canon Baccarat. That's what I would say.
Baccarat?
Yeah, Baccarat.
In Frankfurt, in 1567, the family rose to prominence with Maya Armchild Rothschild, 1744 to 1812, a court factor to the Germany's Landgrafy of Hesse Kessel in French city of Frankfurt, or Free City of Frankfurt, Holy Roman Empire, who established his banking business in the 1760s. Unlike most previous court factors, Rothschilds managed to bequeath his wealth to establish an international banking family through his five sons.
Mm. So international banking family. That's weird. One family controlling an international bank? Hmm.
So they established their businesses in Paris, Frankfurt, London, Vienna, and Naples. The family would They rise to the rank, the noble rank in the Holy Roman Empire and in the United Kingdoms. The only subsisting branch of the family are the French and the British ones.
Okay.
During the 19th century, the Rothschild family proposed the largest private fortune in the world, as well as the modern world history. The family's wealth declined over the 20th century. It was divided among many descendants. Basically, they were just having too many kids. Today, their assets cover a diverse range from sectors, including financial services, real estate, mining, energy, agriculture, and winemaking.
Hmm. Oh, besides winemaking, almost all the things that drive society.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Real estate, mining, energy, agriculture, and all other financial services?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I forgot. These are good guys, right? Rothschilds? Oh,
that's my next line. The family additionally has philanthropical endeavors, yes, and nonprofit organizations.
Oh, like Mr. Bill Gates, our favorite humble farmer. He's always donating, you know, promoting world health. I need to promote world health, and you know, I need more money. That's why he went to Epstein and his island, because the richest man in the world needed more money, guys.
I love this line. So many examples of the family's rural architecture exist across northwestern Europe. The Rothschild family has also been frequent to the subject of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories.
Oh no! Already,
first paragraph.
I like how they have to put that in there. So I was just, as you were doing that, I was looking up the Ashkenazi Jewish, because I really don't know. Didn't you say that's what Lisa's cousins?
Yes.
Were descendants? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just did a quick Google because I just don't know. I just Googled Ashkenazi Jewish, mm-hmm, and it says Ashkenazi Jews are a major group of Jews whose ancestors settled in the Rhineland area of Central Europe, meaning Germany and France, around the 9th century, and later spreading throughout Central and Eastern Europe. So I guess I just...
It's just a subset.
Because Judaism.
Yeah, they have their own like genetic disorders.
Yeah, and it says here from genetic bottlenecking.
Yeah.
Is what it says here on Google. It's that their history includes genetic bottlenecks, mm-hmm, and migrations due to persecutions like... I don't know how to say... Is it pogroms? I don't know how to say that. I looked that up too, and the Holocaust. But I looked up that first word, pogrom, P-O-G-R-O-M-S, and it says that was an organized massacre of a particular ethnic group, in particular that of Jewish people in Russia or Eastern Europe in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. So, you know, 1880s, early 1900s. But it was in was in Russia, and that's what drove many of them here and to other places in Europe. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Learning that they have their own their own diseases.
Yeah,
I just remember seeing stuff like when I did that in school, just like Ashkenazi Jews in like some tribes in Africa, the only ones that get these diseases, that kind of stuff.
That's really oddly specific for.
There is a couple diseases that are like that.
Yeah, like Vietnamese lungworm. Kind of, right? Yeah. I know somebody that had that, and they weren't even Vietnamese. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, what were we saying before I read the definition for...
I don't know. Where do you want me to go?
Well, where were you at? Where were we at?
I mean, how much history do you want about them?
Oh, I think the history is very interesting. I think it's important to know. So they came from that sect of Judaism and rose from, well, I guess they escaped all the persecution from like these areas, whether it be this pog, I can't even say the word. I don't know why. Or even the Holocaust. They somehow escaped all of it and remained in major power across the globe.
It's mostly because the first Rothschild, his sons got elevated nobility in Austria specifically.
Okay.
By the Emperor Fascist the First of Austria, Francus, however you say it, the First of Austria, had granted them all
Francis?
No.
Okay.
Had granted them all Austrian heritage titles of basically barons. So he made all of Rothschild's kids barons.
What's that mean?
It's like barons are large nobility, like landowners. They're not like genetically related to the king and queen line where they all trade prince and princesses.
Yeah.
But they're like a side, like a duke.
Okay.
They're under a duke, a baron is.
Okay.
So it's like to grant people that elevate, like, so the Rothschilds had elevated themselves.
Gotcha.
To such a notable level that the royalty made them basically honorary royalty.
Yes. Makes sense. Okay. No, I didn't know that.
They also had a big part in the Napoleonic Wars.
Ooh, okay. What part did they play?
So the Rothschilds are already possessed a significant fortune by the start of the Napoleonic Wars. That was 1803 to 1815.
Mm-hmm.
The family had gained its providence in the bullion trade at the time. From London in 1813 to 1815. Nathan Mayer Rothschild was instrumental in almost single-handedly financing the British war effort.
Wow. So they're financing wars.
Oh, they started early with that. Organizing a shipment of bullion, which you know what bullion is?
Yeah, like for food?
No.
Oh.
Gold.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like beef bouillon or...
No, not bouillon. Bullion.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way you're saying it. I don't know what that
bullion,
word is.
Bullion, it's gold.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Money.
Is that French for gold?
Gold hard cash.
Ah, okay.
No, I think it's just gold.
Okay.
It's like gold trade.
Okay.
The Duke of Wellington armies, so he organized a shipment of bullion to the Duke of Wellington's armies across Europe, as well as arranging the payment of British financing subsidiaries to their continental allies. In 1815 alone, the Rothschilds provided 9.8 million at that time, equivalent in 2023 around $850 million in today's money.
So they're
in subsidiary loans to the British continental allies. So that's just to the allies during the 1 year.
So they're just financing a war on one side of the front for a year. Oh, like how did that's kind of crazy. A family has the money to finance a war. Huh. That's weird. They wouldn't still continue to do that stuff, would they?
The brothers helped coordinate the Rothschild activities across the continent. The family developed a network of agents, shippers, couriers to transport gold across this war-torn Europe.
Hmm.
The family's network also provided Nathan Rothschild's time and again with political and financial information ahead of his peers, giving him an advantage in the markets and rendering the House of Rothschild still invulnerable to the British government.
Hmm. So they're financing the British war, meanwhile simultaneously like protecting and enriching themselves.
Oh yeah, no, they were...
They wouldn't see a family doing that for, so long. Wouldn't have figured out even more sophisticated and ways to do that. Yeah, would they, would they?
In one instance, the family network enabled Nathan to receive in London the news that Wellington's victory at the Battle of Waterloo a full day ahead of the government's official messengers.
Wow.
So he knew the battle was won a whole day or 24 hours ahead of even the government.
Well, how did he get word? It's like they have a sophisticated network of intelligence.
I just read that a second ago.
Well, I mean, I know.
Okay. Anyways, Rothschild's first concern on this occasion was not to potentially financial advantages on the market in which knowledge was given to him. He and his courier immediately took the news to the government.
Oh, okay, good. He informed the government.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good man.
He then used the news for financial gain.
Ah, okay.
but it was a fraction of what it could have been.
Okay. Gosh.
Because if he didn't tell him, he could have bought all of the stuff.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But he still made money.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful, wonderful.
They also got in a lot of fights with the Morton family at this time.
The Salt people?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
That's just, that's another, that was another highly powerful family at the time.
Morton Salt is terrible for you. It's, you know how many times they've been caught, like, people found, like, plastic and stuff, like,
oh, gosh, yeah.
As filler? That's just, Morton Salt is not to be consumed.
It's, well, it says that on the thing.
They, Morton makes table salt.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They read the, it doesn't say table salt anywhere on the container.
We'll see. They make pretzel salt. They make kosher salt that is like weird. It's not even like flaky, like normal kosher salt.
Is it the rock salt?
No, it says kosher salt, but it's thick like pretzel salt.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
No, it's terrible.
Oh, well, I like it.
You need the real kosher salt. Go to, get yourself to Gordon Food Services, buy the kosher salt in the red and white box.
I want to try the kosher Coke.
What's the difference?
I have no idea. So I know it's like a lot less ingredients and it's supposed to be really good. It's got the yellow label on it. There's a Jewish guy I follow on like Insta.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's this time of year where all these non-Jewish people come to the Jewish market because they buy the, they buy like pallets of this Coke.
Wow. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah. And he's just like, yeah, you, it was, I think it was in New York or Chicago. It was one of the big cities that had a, like a large Jewish market area.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I ever go back that way, I definitely want to go and just try it.
Hmm.
Some of that stuff looks really good, and others just does not. Like gefilte fish.
Ah, no.
And it may be good.
No, it's
it
not.
It just doesn't look good.
No, it's not. It's like rotted fish meat.
But there's all kinds of cultures that do that.
Yeah.
Ferment fish meat.
Yeah, and it's all gross. Not just this one. It's all gross.
The Icelandic shark was, what did, what's his name, said it was the single worst thing he'd ever put in his mouth. Is it
Jeremy Wade?
No, no,
didn't
no.
he do that?
He did. He tried it, but he was polite about it.
Okay.
It was like a famous chef. Was
isn't
like,
that where they bury it?
They for... have to because it's so full of ammonia. Yeah. It'll kill you if you eat it.
Oh, my gosh.
But if you have a 900-pound shark and you're starving.
Yeah, you're going to find a way to eat it.
Yeah. Whew. Anyways, they use their, the new, oh, sorry. The bias for the Rothschilds' most famous profitable move were made after the news of British victory was made public. Nathan Rothschild calculated the future reduction in government borrowing budgets are brought by the peace would create a bounce in British government bonds after a two-year subsidiation, which would falsify the post-war reconstruction of domestic economy. In what was described as one of the most ambitious moves in financial history, Nathan immediately bought up the government bonds market. For what at the time seemed to be an extremely high price, before waiting 2 years, then selling the bonds at the crest of the short bounce of the market in 1817 for a 40% profit. Given the sheer power of leverage the Rothschilds family had at their disposal, the profit was an enormous sum.
Okay.
We're talking in modern day billions and billions of dollars.
And billions.
It's probably one of the biggest market moves ever in world recorded history.
Hmm. And the Rothschilds were right at the forefront of it.
I mean, this is probably what, this is what made them where they could coast to today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always had the funds. They, you know, you couldn't, there was no deal after this where the Rothschilds couldn't be involved in.
Yeah.
Nathan Rothschild started his business in Manchester in 1806, gradually moving it to London, where in 1809 he acquired the location at 2 New Court Street, in the city of London, where it still operates today. He established Northwest Rothschild and Sons in 1811. And in 1818, he arranged a $5 million, equaled about $440 million today, loan to the Prussian government and issued the bonds of government loans formed by the ministry of his bank's business. He gained a position of such power in the city of London by 1825 and 1826. He was able to supply enough coin to the Bank of England to enable to avert the market liquidity crisis.
So they had more money than England.
They had more money than Europe.
And they're, yeah, they're just lending it to. So what's that even mean? That's not real. Money's not real.
I have jewelry and stuff from Prussia.
Ooh, nice.
Prussia doesn't even exist anymore.
It does here in Ohio.
Prussia, the town?
No, wait, that's in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Is it King of Prussia, Pennsylvania? I think that's the name of a town. Maybe I'm wrong.
Gosh.
Now, no.
Reading. So international hire financiers. These guys are on the side. So Rothschild Banking Family Business pioneered international high finance during the industrialization of Europe, or is instrumental in supporting railway systems across the world and complex government funding for projects such as the Suez Canal.
Oh, wow. That's major.
The Rothschilds put the Suez Canal in. They put everything in. They financed the world's infrastructure for modern day.
Hmm. So you don't think they still have a hand in like utilizing that modern day infrastructure, do they?
So from 1895 through 1907, do you want to guess how much money they loaned?
Trillions of dollars.
In their money. I'll tell you what it is in our money, but okay. And how much in 1880 or 95 money?
It's still going to be a lot. Like,
it's a big number. No, it's
$4 billion.
Let me make sure I'm reading the zeros right. 450 million of 1985 or 1895 money.
Okay.
Which is equivalent to roughly 15.2. Let me count again.
Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they were covered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
$1 billion, 15.2 billion.
That's a lot of money.
I wanted to make sure I was getting just to the European governments.
That's a lot of money, but even nowadays, it's not that much for them. Billions of dollars, just nothing for the Rothschilds.
Yeah, that was like a third, or not a third, it was like 8% of the world's whole money.
It's insane. That's insane.
The Rothschild family was directly involved with the independence of Brazil from Portugal in the early 19th century. Did you know that?
I did not.
Upon agreement, the Brazilian government should pay a comprehensive of £2 million to the Kingdom of Portugal to accept Brazil's independence. They helped kind of like, we'll finance so you can pay for your freedom.
Yeah.
The N.M. Rothschild & Sons was pre-emitting and raising the capital for the government of the newly formed Empire of Brazil on the London market. In 1825, Nathan Rothschild raised $2 million or £2 million. Was probably directly involved in the early trenches for the loans, which raised £1 million in 1824. Part of the price of Portugal's reconsignment to Brazilian independence, secured in 1825, was that Brazil should be taken, or which should take over repayment of the principal and the interest on the £1.5 million loan to the Portuguese government in 1823 by N.M. Rothschild and Sons. Basically, they financed it, and they're just like, well, you got to take over the interest payment after we finance it.
After we finance it. I just Googled Rothschild.
Mm-hmm.
And after I Googled, I Googled Rothschild owned Federal Reserve just to see what would pop up. First, you know, the AI overview just basically immediately says it's a
anti-Semitic
anti-Semitic conspiracy theory is the first line that it was. But so I like scroll down and I'm looking, okay, what's the actual first article that pops up after the AI thing, you know? And it takes you immediately to the first. Link that pops up is the AmericanJewishCommittee.org website, and it's saying the term Rothschild, saying the word, is an anti-Semitic slur, just to say the word Rothschild. That's the first link that pops up.
That's interesting.
It's just weird.
All right, so the family also funded Cecil Rhodes in the creation of the African colony of Rhodesia. From the late 1880s onward, the family took over control of Rio Tinto Mining Company as payment.
Okay.
Ah, just so basically, they financed this guy to have his own country.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we're taking over the mining rights.
Yeah. It's hard. You have your own country, but your resources are now ours. But it's a good way to get into an area.
Europe, South America, and Africa so far.
They've got their fingers in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Publicly.
The Japanese government also approached London and Paris families for the funding during the Russo-Japanese War. The London Rothschilds issued the Japanese war bonds worth about $11.5 million in 1907 currency rate, which would be $1.1 billion as of 2012.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
The name of the Rothschilds became synonymous with extravagance and great wealth. The family was renowned for its art collecting, for its palaces.
Oh my gosh.
As well as for its philanthropy.
Yeah, philanthropy.
By the end of the century, the family owned or had built, at the lowest estimate, 41 palaces. A scale of luxury perhaps unparalleled even by the richest families in world history.
Philanthropy.
The British Chancellor of Exchequer, that's how it's spelled, Exchequer, David Lloyd George claimed in 1909, Nathan Lord Rothschild was the most powerful man in Britain.
Philanthropist.
That's how you get, you got to be a philanthropist.
That's how you get to become the most richest man ever is just, you know, you got to give all your money away and all your stuff. That's how you achieve that. And it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
So simple.
Any questions?
No, this is just, I mean, I think we're just reading like basic information.
I'm just reading the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And take it or leave it.
So, I mean, this is not like, I guess, a biased take because they're trying to be very fair to them, but it's kind of weird how everything's slanted towards everything's good. They're philanthropists, guys. There's nothing wrong with owning everything or, you know, bailing out entire countries' banking systems because you have more money than that entire continent.
So one thing that helped them survive so much, because there was a lot of money moving back and forth between the branches of the Rothschilds,
mm-hmm.
the Rothschild banking system,
mm-hmm.
is that they had English branches, they had French branches, they had Austrian branches, and they had Napoleonic branches. So they kept moving money back and forth. They were always on the winning side.
Okay.
No matter what.
Of the war?
Oh, any war. Ever.
It's like maybe they funded both sides, and then they didn't really care when, or they forced a winner. And then it's like they profited off both sides fighting. And then when both countries or whatever entities that are involved in whatever war it is, it's like they are shuffling things behind the curtain while all that chaos is going on so they could restructure everything after the war's over with. But that would never happen.
So there's in places in Israel, there's tons of them named after the Rothschild family.
In Israel?
Yeah. I didn't know this.
Well, no, Israel is a biblical place. So this must have existed before the Rothschilds existed, right? Maybe the Rothschilds were named after them, right? Oh, no, if it's not. It is the other way around. Oh, because this country of Israel that we have now.
I'm just going to read it word for word.
Was formed in the 40s.
Primarily due to their generosity and influence of Baron Edmund James de Rothschild, Hay, Nevada, the benefactor, on the history of the land of Israel and the state of Israel, a tradition existing in the naming of cities, towns, or other settlements in Israel in honor of the members of the Rothschild family.
Oh, okay.
Six of these places are groups in the same vicinity on the Sharon Plains, while others are scattered throughout the country. I'm not going to read them all, but let's see. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. There's roughly 25 cities named after the Rothschilds in Israel.
Just in Israel?
Mm-hmm. That's all. They're all in Israel.
Hmm. So what does that tell you, listeners, or even you, Daniel, that the country of Israel may... is it a biblical, you know, a country, you know, formed from the biblical sense of Israel, or is it formed to protect a family? So a family can operate unimpeded and hiding behind the biblical country of or land of Israel. It's because I feel like in the Bible, I'll admit it now, I've never read the Bible through and through. I've never. But I just, something's in my gut is telling me, you know, maybe that land of Israel they talked about then, you know, of the olden days, probably didn't have cities named after the most powerful family in the world, or at least richest family in the world. So maybe they're not one in the same places, these, you know, biblical Israel and modern day Israel. Maybe they're just separate entities, but however, maybe one's using the old name as like a cover and guise to get away with things that maybe they necessarily couldn't get away with, that their name was, if their country's name was, I don't know, just Rothschildville. I don't think they'd be able to get away with flattening and destroying a country that's over 60% women and children, and just leveling them because they're at war, quote unquote, war with that strip of land that they just leveled. And as of we're speaking now, last week, they just toppled the last tall building in the Gaza Strip. It's gone. It's gone because they're at war, people. This is war, you know, with against mostly women and children. They're at war. You know, those children could grow up to be bad people. Don't you understand that? That's why we got to get them now. They're dangerous. I don't know. But maybe that's just me observing it from the outside in, and maybe I'm just looking at it all wrong.
Modern businesses, investments, and philanthropy. Since the late 19th century, the family has taken low-key public profile, donating many famous estates, as well as vast quantities of arts to charity.
Oh, such philanthropists.
And generally eschewing compensous displays of wealth. Today, the Rothschilds' business is on the smaller scale of what it was at the beginning of the 19th century. Although they encompass diverse range in fields, including real estate, financial services, mixed farming, energy, mining, winemaking, and various nonprofits. So the big one they have today is the Rothschild Group. Since 2003, the group of the Rothschild banks have been controlled by Rothschild's Continued Holdings, a Swiss registered holding company, under the chairmanship of Baron David Le de Rothschild. The Rothschild Commissioning Holdings is in true controlled by Cornell BV, a Dutch registered master holding company. Cordella BV is managed by Paris Orleans SA, a French registered holding company. Paris Orleans SA is ultimately controlled by the Rothschild Cornella SAS.
I don't know any
of that. Rothschild family holding company.
No.
The Rothschild CA banquet. So I'll go through it really quick again. The Rothschild Continued Holding Company is controlled by the Cornetta BV, a Dutch company. Cornetta BV is managed by Paris Orleans SA, which is a French holding company, which is ultimately managed by the Rothschild Cornetta SAS, a different Rothschild holding company.
Oh, so it's a big circle jerk.
What's that movie? Where it's a dream inside a dream.
Inception.
A dream? Inception.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's how they hide. That's how you hide.
Because you can't sue them. You could never sue them. You could never get through all of you. No. You could not live long enough to get through all of those layers.
Because you're essentially just suing them.
Again and again.
Again and again and again and again. And they have enough money to stop you at any point in time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rothschild and SE Banquet controls Rothschild banking business in France, continental Europe, while Rothschild Continental Holding AG controls a number of Rothschild banks elsewhere, including NM Rothschild & Sons in London. 20% of Rothschild's Continuation Holding AG was sold in 2005 to Jardine Strategics, which is a subsidiary of Jardine Matheson & Co. of Hong Kong. In November of 2008, Rabanko Group was lead investing in private banking in the Netherlands, acquired 7.5% of the Rothschilds, basically that big holding company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they just own it. They just own all the money. When I Google the Rothschilds and Federal Reserve, everything says conspiracy theory. There's no involvement. They have no connection with the Federal Reserve. Nothing. This is all conspiracy theory and anti-Semitism.
So Rothschild Continuation Holdings AG and the RoboBank and the Rothschilds entered into a cooperation agreement in the field of management or mergers and acquisitions, advising and equal to capital marketing advisories in the food and agricultural business sectors. It is believed that the move was intended to help the Rothschilds Continuation Holdings AG gain access to a wider capital pool, enlarging their presence in the Eastern Asian markets. Paris Orleans SA is a financial holding company listed on Euronext Paris and is controlled by the French and English branches of the Rothschild family. So that middle one is still controlled by the Rothschild family.
Okay.
And the other one, they're all, okay, I'm just reading this list. They're all controlled by the Rothschild. That whole list of names I named where they own everything.
Yeah.
They're all different Rothschilds.
Okay.
They just started to stop calling stuff Rothschild stuff to get away from people calling for conspiracy stuff.
Right. Well, it's just hiding. It's just hiding in plain sight, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the N.A. Rothschild & Sons, in England's investment bank, does most of the business as an advisor or mergers for acquisitions. In 2004, the investment bank withdrew from the gold market entirely, a commodity the Rothschild bankers had traded for more than two centuries.
Okay.
So what happened in 2004 where they got away from gold? Anyways, in 2006, it ranked the second U.K. M&A with deals totaling. So in their mergers and acquisitions, just in 2006, they bought $104.9 billion worth of things.
Hmm.
In 2006, the bank recorded its pre-tax annual profit. Wait a second. In 2006, the bank recorded its pre-tax annual profit of £83 million with assets worth $5.5 billion. What did they buy for $104 billion?
What do you mean?
They only have $5 billion in assets.
Okay.
2 years before, they bought $104 billion worth of things.
Oh, gotcha. Well,
but they only have $5 billion in assets.
So that was in 2004?
Where did $100 billion in assets go?
Let's see. What were we doing around then? Oh, yeah. That's when the U.S. discovered weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Is that around then? It's around that time, yeah. When we started that war with Iraq and Afghanistan and, you know, well, we were at least bombing them and, you know, overthrowing their leaders, you know. Capturing them and publicly hanging them. It's around that time. And we started that war because we had evidence of them having weapons of mass destruction, which just turned out to be aluminum tubes, which we had then later admitted that we never did have evidence of mass destruction, yet we still went in that war and decimated that area for over 20 years.
In 1953, one Swiss member of the family, Edmund Rothschild, I'm not going to go with this 18 middle names, founded the LCF Rothschild Group. Which was based in Geneva and today extends to more than 15 countries across the world. Although this group is primarily a financing entity, you ever heard of this, like the Swiss banking? There you go.
Oh, for sure.
That's where it is. Specialized in asserting management in private banking. And its activities also covered mixed farming, luxury hotels, and yacht racing. Edmund Rothschild's group committee is currently being chaired by Arnery de Rothschild. In late 2010, Benjamin Day Rothschild, the chairman at the time, said that the family was unaffected by the 2018 financial crisis due to their conservative business practices. Here's a quote. "We all came through it well because of our investment managers did not want to put money into crazy things," he added. The Rothschilds were still a small-scale traditional family business and took great care over their clients' investments of their American companies, adding, "The client knows we will not speculate with his money."
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, gosh.
The clients know.
They're also huge wine producers. They've been making wine for over 150 years. I mean, still making wine. It's, art and charity. They're the biggest, one of the biggest art buyers in the world is the Rothschilds.
And well, so what is that?
We did an episode on that.
Yes. And I that's why I just wanted to talk about it again, touch on it really quick.
It's a tax shell.
Yeah, art, fine art, especially in the art trade, they use to hide money and to move money because you can appraise art for really any price.
Any number.
Any price. So you see all these famous people that are now starting their art business paintings and they're selling their art for record prices, or it's not because they're talented, it's because they're moving money.
The family once had the largest private art collection in the world.
So what's that mean?
In a significant portion of that art, though, the world's art, and they also own a significant portion of the art in the world's public museums.
Okay.
They were on loan. the family's tradition of decession donation, and they like to donate art anonymously.
Nice. I just remembered this too. It's just how powerful the Rothschild family is. And if you ever look up pictures of any of these people, especially the older generation that just seem to hang around forever, they're still alive. They look like just vampire, like it's demons. But there's one, there's a famous photo of Evelyn D. the Rothschild. It's his name.
They own De Beers. Sorry, I was reading ahead.
De Beers? Diamonds?
Yeah.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Go ahead. Sorry.
If you don't know our episode, look up our episode on De Beers Diamonds. Diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. I don't remember if that's what it's called, but Evelyn Rothschild, there's a famous photo of him with King Charles. I think before he was king. This was back in like 2013 or 14. So it just recently happened in the past decade. But there's a famous photo of him with his finger in the king's chest. And
like he's telling him off?
Well, I mean, here, I'll pull it up actually. If you just Google it, if anyone wants to Google it, I don't know if he's telling him off, but here, there's the picture. But who
would poke the king?
Who would be able to just poke the king in the chest, whether it's even in fun or it's even just formal talk? Name any other instance where that's ever happened, and the king's just looking at him. And, well, he wasn't the king. Well, yeah, he would have been the king, right? Because it was Queen Elizabeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's who she married?
No, he's never the king.
Right, so what would that make him?
He was the duke of something.
Okay. Either way, Charles. It was Charles.
The king the one would that, be by blood, not by marriage.
Charles. It was the one that was married to Diana, and then she disappeared, and then he was with his mistress, that one.
Wait, so the queen's son?
Yeah.
Then yes, he is the king.
Now he is.
Yes.
But at the time, he was not.
He was the prince.
Yeah. Prince Charles. There we go. Yeah, so Rothschild's sitting there. Authority over the king of England? And 10 years ago? I guess the queen's son 10 years ago. I don't know. How powerful is this family? We've been known to finance wars in the past on both sides. That's weird. And then modern day Israel's named after all, like a lot of their towns and cities are named after this one family? That's weird. And we send all of our money to that country as well? That's weird. And they're in a war right now. And who's funding that? Where do they generate all this money to keep constantly still bombing and destroying buildings? Oh, yeah, it's us, U.S. taxpayers. That's weird. You would think a country full of Rothschilds would have enough money to be able to do whatever they want to do. Yet somehow they need our money, our taxpayers' money. It's almost like Bill Gates needing Epstein's money to finance global world health. So Israel needs our money to bomb women and children? That's weird. That's just a weird thing. Especially with the Rothschild connection. I'm sure the Rothschild connection is just because they're honoring their philanthropy, right? That's why they named all their cities and towns after them, because they're just honoring philanthropy. It's almost like that whole country is put together as a guise to hide behind a certain religion, yet achieve all these horrible things around the world, like a bombing of women and children, ethnically cleansing areas. It's just odd that a nation founded around religion is down for that kind of stuff.
Some of their financial holdings: Asian Resource Minerals, Beckett Rothschilds, Benitro, Baraco, British South African Company, Chemist de Ferdinand, Club Med, Credentialist, De Beers, The Economist Group, Edmund A. Rothschild Group, Emirate, General Energy, Libertarian, M.A. Rothschild & Soman, Opus One Winery, Rio Tinto, RIT Capital Partners, Rothschild & Co., The Royal Dutch Shell Company.
What is this even list?
This is just a bunch of their holdings. This is stuff they own.
Oh, okay.
James, these are just huge corporations from across the world.
And it comes to a certain point, and we looked this up too, researching it. It's like all the major corporations at the end of the day are just shared ownerships with each other. like they all just share stocks, like the big, big,
really
big,
like
big ones.
Six companies own everything.
Yes. And then even those six companies, they're all like intermingling. They just share assets with each other. Mm-hmm. They buy parts of this big one, and this big one buys parts of that one, and that one buys parts. It's just a big circle. So at the end of the day, it's something, someone's coordinating all, something is coordinating, whether it's an entity, a group, or perhaps some families, like some close-knit, powerful families, coordinating all these things, putting them all together, setting up a structure that we all have to live under, because we are. We have to because we are, or else we wouldn't be this way. I don't know.
Okay. There's a little section here on the Wikipedia page. It's just called conspiracy theories. But it also says see list of conspiracy theories and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Anti-Semitic tropes in controlling the global financial system. It's nothing to do with they're Jewish. They just own everything.
Yeah, what that has zero to do with Judaism. And I think, you know, that's where I think there's the biggest problem. Because, you know, people are, you know, oh, the Jews did this. The Jews own everything. I think that's misguided.
It's just the Rothschilds.
Right.
They just own it all, and happen to be Jewish.
And do they really practice Judaism at the end of the day?
It doesn't sound like it.
So are they just...
But I don't know their soul.
No, we don't. But it's just, to me, it seems like they're hiding behind Judaism. So then, in turn, if you... Any sort of criticism... It's anti-Semitism, you know, and that was drilled in our heads even as little kids all the way through learning through the Holocaust. You know, we took a school trip to go to the Holocaust Museum in D.C., mm-hmm. You know, just a little tiny school from Ohio. We had to go all the way there and see that. And don't get me wrong, like it was not a pleasant experience, you know, knowing all this stuff. It's terrible. It's terrible when it weighs on anyone with a heart. Or with a conscience, it weighs on you. Like, this is horrible. But I can also see how that can be used to pull on your heartstrings for someone to use that against you to hide behind it. And I think that's where there's a lot of, I guess, misconceptions. Or when people say, like, oh, you know, the Jews own it. It's not that. It's not. I don't think that's what they're getting at, but that's what comes out. So that's what you hear. And you have these... thoughts about Jewish people being persecuted in history that weighs in your mind that you're aware of. And you know, like, that's not right. No one should be persecuted for just being Jewish, just for practicing Judaism, because that's how the Holocaust happened. At least that's how we were taught the Holocaust happened. And so modern day, when these things get brought up, like the Rothschilds, they happen to be Jewish, but they still happen to own everything. It doesn't mean the Jews own everything. It just means the Rothschilds own everything. And they just happen to be Jewish. But I think they're hiding behind Judaism to protect themselves. So when you see everything is called anti-Semitic, it's just a way of protecting themselves. When the actual thing isn't at Jewish people or Judaism in general at all whatsoever, has nothing to do with that. But as long as you're associating it with it, or their associating it together, conflating the two together, that's how you get to the point where people are just saying, oh, it's anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitism. It makes that heaviness, that weight weigh on you when you realize, like, being anti-Semitic. But it's not that. It's not that. It's powerful families hiding behind it, and that's where I think the problem is. So we got to focus on who controls the money and who controls the levers behind the pulling the strings behind war, behind everything that goes on in the world. That's the problem. All my fighting's government denies. Take long nights, you through the lies. Flat earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand.
manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hold on a mystery unsolved. To my seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quill. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collective ring, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.